Welcome to the CityDAO podcast. I'm your host, Eric Gilbert Williams. CityDAO is exploring decentralized asset ownership on chain, starting with a simple piece of land purchased in Wyoming during 2021. Each parcel of land becomes an NFT that can be owned collectively by the DAO or by individuals, just like you and me. CityDAO is a DAO. In other words, it's a decentralized autonomous organization, meaning that land governance, treasury, and other things, including this show you're listening to right now, are all managed by the community. Check out the FAQ at citydao.io to learn more, or check out the CityDAO Discord channel to get all the latest updates. Now let's get started with the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the CityDAO podcast, the very first city being built on the Ethereum blockchain. I am a citizen. I'm not a founder. I'm not an owner. I'm a regular person, just like you, that participated in this project. I'm excited about this project, and I'm helping out where I can. I'm helping out by taking initiative on a little project called the CityDAO podcast. So I'm your host today, and my role here is to just bring up questions and talk to people and bring good quality information back to you, the listeners, and people who are interested in this project. So without further ado, let's dive right into today's session. We have Oisin here from Ireland, who is one of the original brain masters on the project, and we're going to be able to get his opinion and perspective on a few really key important subjects that are happening right now live as we speak and being discussed in Discord and being sorted out with the team members on the various initiatives. So welcome, Oisin, to the show. Thank you for putting together this project and helping with the other founders to give it life, give it momentum, and put us on the map as the very first city that's being built on the Ethereum blockchain. How you doing, man?
Thanks, Eric. Thank you for the introduction. It's great to be part of this podcast project to start with. And it's great that you've taken the initiative to really take on the host role. Yeah, there's so many things going on at the moment. It's hard to keep up with a lot of it. And I guess that's hopefully where the podcast can come into play and solve a lot of those problems.
Well, let's dive in from the start. Just curious, how did you get involved in the project? What was happening in your world and how did you meet everyone? And what's your story of getting in on this?
Yeah, it's a long one, but I got into crypto back in, 2019. I was introduced, initially through a bit of mining, through Bitcoin, and then got involved in a lot of Discords and forums. And TikTok as well was definitely my first introduction to influencer called Virtual Bacon, who goes by Dennis. Joined his Discord called Virtual Bacon and started participating a lot and learning a lot of the space, Had a little bit of blockchain knowledge prior to that through actual college, to be honest with you, and started helping out. And Dennis actually took the initiative to start Virtual Bacon DAO, which is now known as Bacon DAO, which is a blockchain cryptocurrency kind of education group and research. Then was actually introduced by a member of Bacon DAO to CityDAO, where I met Scott, of course, which was probably quite earlier on, probably May 2021 at that stage. Started participating again, became very interested in the project. Wrote actually a research paper back in 2020 on tokenizing real estate, and had this kind of goal to tokenize real estate and introduce a way of tokenizing real estate to real estate firms. And when I saw this, I was immediately attracted, thought it was a fantastic idea and, wanted to be part of it. And here we are.
And what kind of stuff have you been doing with the project so far?
Mainly a lot of operational stuff. I think, earlier on, we designed the fundraising mechanism that you guys now know as Citizen NFTs. So that was kind of a lot of the earlier on planning CityDAO. When I initially joined, there wasn't necessarily a direction as to how we go down, fundraising, going down the first route of getting tokenized land, purchasing this land. So I think one of the initial things that I was part of was definitely the fundraising, kind of designing this Citizen NFT concept. And now we've raised, over $8 million doing it. Then next was the first parcel on land, right, or on chain, should I say, in Wyoming that we've actually purchased and, tokenized. And we're getting ready for the sale of the governance NFTs for this land. Overall, just mainly day-to-day operations and these kind of ideas, that a lot of us work on.
As a citizen that's not involved in the core development and some of that stuff, I can be a little more objective and detached on some things and ask some difficult questions and go into some of the hot topics that happen to be going on right now out there. And some of the things that I see about CityDAO project is obviously a lot of excitement. There's also a lot of confusions. And some of the confusions simply arise from people not having a resource to find the right answers. And that's partly, of course, what this podcast is for. So if it's okay with you, I'd love to just dive into some of the confusions I see out there that I think we can probably clear up pretty quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, sure.
So, one of the things that pops up is, do NFT holders own land today? And this is a thing that I saw on some other DAOs as well that are raising. I mean, the Constitution DAO was probably a spotlight example of this subject. Do you own a piece of the Constitution if you're participating in that DAO? And the official answer on the website is no. People think yes. There's obviously a ton of confusion. There's a lot of speculators. The intention, to my understanding, with how you guys are running this CityDAO project and how the voting mechanism is going to work, is that by buying an NFT, we get governance rights. It's not necessarily a representation of land today, at least not today anyways. Maybe that's possible in the future. There's a lot of things to discuss on a security side, and that's an ongoing discussion that's active right now. But simply put, do people own land right now that own CityDAO NFT?
Yeah, it's great that you brought that up. Currently, no. People that have a Citizen NFT do not actually own land. You know, initially when we first started CityDAO, there's actually a document that I drafted up to represent land ownership and how we would do that. There's obviously, when we designed the Citizen NFT model, there's a huge amount of securities risks which associating ownership of land, because it may be considered a security, even if that land does not appreciate in value or if it doesn't provide a return. So in order to keep citizens and CityDAO to mitigate legal risk as much as possible, CityDAO citizens do not have any share in ownership of land. And same with the land NFTs. Actually, it's a good point to bring that up as well, is that when we do tokenize the land NFTs strictly represent governance rights. So if we want to perform an operation on the land, people that own these governance NFTs essentially get the final say on what happens. And I guess they can also propose what happens too.
I was in conversation with a buddy of mine. He's a deep Bitcoin maximalist, and everything that comes with that. And I mean that with love. And his critique of the project, you know, is that essentially it's just a money grab and, you know, it's bogus and all these kind of, you know, things that are shared around, not just in maximalists. I don't mean to sort of spotlight them out. I'm just saying a friend of mine and I were talking. And one of the things that hit me was that there's no way to avoid the reality that there's going to be generally two groups of people participating in the project and buying NFTs. There's going to be your speculators that are buying the NFT strictly to try and flip and make a profit. And then you're going to have another group of people that are understanding that this is a experiment. And the idea of the NFT is for governance, not for speculation, not for price gain and asset appreciation. Now, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me personally, I did understand that this is a experiment. I understood that this is a governance project and this is a long-term focus and it's not for flipping and making a quick buck at all. So I approach this similar to the way I approach Bitcoin in that, you know, I believe in the technology. I believe in the experiment. I want to be a part of the experiment. I want to contribute. But it doesn't negate the reality, like I said earlier, that there is another group of people who are in this as speculators and wondering when they're going to cash out, right? And now we got this kind of creates a dilemma in and of itself. You know, we've said to people, this is not a cash grab. This is not a get rich quick thing, but they bought anyways. And essentially now they're holding up a bunch of NFTs that could otherwise be used for governance with people that do want to participate in the experiment. Like to me, I really see myself as a scientist. And I don't know if any other citizens out there feel the same way, but scientists experiment and see how things work. Let's try governance this way. Let's try voting that way. Let's try putting together something this way and see if it fits, like a big Tetris game. How do we deal with the fact that there are probably a large, probably at least double-digit percentage of people that own the CityDAO NFTs that are looking and expecting a gain and don't really intend on participating in the voting or the governance at all? That's going to affect quorum. That's going to affect total amounts of votes required to achieve a certain vote. And it's going to potentially, if it doesn't make a profit fast enough for them, make a negative sentiment. And they're going to start saying things that are a little bit counterproductive to the experiment. So what are your thoughts on these two groups or anything I said? I kind of rambled a lot there and I do that sometimes. So tell me to shut up.
No, I'm just as bad. It's a good question. You know, there's nothing we can do or nothing in the initial mechanism that we could have done to stop people speculating. It's the same as any governance project. People are always going to speculate if they think that these NFTs are going to go up in value, albeit to them. The idea of the current proposal process is that an NFT can essentially represent one vote. I know that, you know, people that will speculate on these NFTs may be holding tens, if not hundreds of these NFTs, which ultimately will affect the total citizen number, because a person holds one more than one NFT, there can't be 10,000 citizens. Ultimately, like my goal and what I would love to see is one NFT, one human, one citizen. I know this, it's not entirely achievable right now. However, there's things that we can do in the future to possibly go down this route to achieve that. There's proof of humanity. There's things like quadratic voting, which could possibly lead to not a one human, one citizen, but a one human, one vote, which is ultimately, I guess, a little bit more important so that we have a fair kind of decentralized approach to a lot of voting mechanisms. To address the cash grab kind of aspect of things, like this is ultimately a DAO. A lot of the decisions are made collectively by citizens as for a vote. This is an experiment ultimately, but the money that is being raised will be filtered all into or completely into operations and projects associated with CityDAO. And while we can't directly provide value back to citizens in the form of money or dividends or anything like that, we can take on initiatives to propose stuff like the CIP 17 that I wrote or things like this to indirectly provide like a real life value to holding one of these citizen NFTs, like, you know, the ability to attend a conference or the ability to rent in a building or something along those lines. So that's one aspect. And then if you look at back at the voting, the idea of possibly being able to activate your NFT to allow for voting under, like, maybe, you know, use proof of humanity to activate voting so that we mitigate the use of people with hundreds of NFTs or tens of NFTs swaying proposals. You know, quadratic voting will also do this in a little bit of a looser fashion, you know, possibly exponentially increasing the amount of NFTs required for extra votes. Sorry, I kind of addressed a couple of points very scattered there, but does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, and there's a number of technical items that you brought up that we could dive into further. And there's different people that are on the list in the lineup to come on the show. And just for context, people that are listening right now, we're diving into subjects that are relevant right here, right now with Oisin, that are hot and current right now today. Definitely the proposal that Oisin mentioned here with the CIP17, we're going to dive into that in a second, which is about, you know, what are the next steps with the CityDAO project. And we're going to have other guests on the show in different types of formats. There's going to be essentially three formats for the show right now. One is going to be a 10-minute FAQ, which obviously this one's already running over on that, so it's not exactly an FAQ, but there's going to be 10-minute FAQs to specifically address very, very key fundamental concepts and foundations of the experiment and the project. There's going to be longer format, which is probably this one, and, you know, the 30, 45, 60-minute sort of time frame that represents longer form interviews and discussions. And there's also going to be another shorter version that's more like the bite-sized snack. So the really important news updates of the week. And those will also be very short and to the point. So in that context in mind, we're going to just focus on a few subjects that are specifically relevant to today and to Oisin. And that's about, you know, what are the next steps with CityDAO and the use of the funds. And before we dive into that, let's first just have a little recap of the use of funds today. There's another confusion that I've seen out there amongst a lot of people. And that confusion is, wow, you guys, I'm sort of paraphrasing what I see out there. And by the way, you know what? I'm just going to backtrack just for a second. You know, when I was talking about speculators buying NFTs, that was not to be a criticism, and that was not to be putting them in a box that's not in positive light. The fact that people are interested in this in any capacity is encouraging, and it's a really good thing to have people involved overall. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah. So one extremely important thing to note for the project is that, you know, I think it's very hard to limit this kind of, you know, if we were to do proof of humanity for the initial fundraise or the initial kind of citizen onboarding, it'd be very difficult to get to the level we're at right now without a little bit of speculation. Obviously, we're not promoting that people buy and hold a load of these NFTs, but it'd be very difficult to, again, as I said, to gain the amount of traction we had without a certain amount of speculation. It's not necessarily not encouraged, but at the same time, there's nothing a whole lot we could do about it while maintaining constant and the kind of level of exponential growth that we did.
Yeah. And I'm going to clarify my position on the concept of speculation. Like, we need everyone in this project, right? We need people that want to govern. We need people that want to do hands-on development. We need people that want to work with the legalities. We need people that are going to help with the real estate. We need people that want to speculate and throw money at this so that we can get somewhere and put money into the treasury. Like, we're all just a big team here, and we're all needed in different capacities. So I think where I was getting at before with the speculation concept is to have a little bit of perhaps forgiveness and collaboration with some of those people that are holding, looking for a quick flip, and to maybe ease off on any sort of strategies that they feel might be in the benefit of the short-term gain, because this really is a long-term project. And it would be really helpful if we can all keep that context in mind and work together on that and work forward with it. And that's really a segue into the subject of the first piece of land. You know, there's one of the confusions I've seen out there. I've actually seen a couple of YouTube episodes about it is, you know, hey, look at this DAO. They raised a bunch of money. They bought this random piece of land in the middle of nowhere. There goes all your money. You know, you guys are done. And, you know, that's just, it's comical. I understand that there's confusion. So I think let's have a stab at addressing some of that. What do you think, Oisin?
Yeah, that sounds great. So I think what we have to take into account here is, like, the whole goal of CityDAO, or the initial kind of white paper slash direction slash roadmap of the route that CityDAO wanted to go down. CityDAO is ultimately a DAO that is aiming to build a city on the Ethereum blockchain, right? In order to do this, people think, like, hey, you know, why don't you just build a city? You know, you have $8 million, which seems like a load of money. Why don't you just go and build a city somewhere? But ultimately, you know, $8 million in the grand scheme of things for a city is not a lot of money, first of all. And the second point is that, like, a lot of these things, we're doing something for the first time. No one's built a city on the Ethereum blockchain before. No one's built a city on any blockchain before. So there's obviously steps to achieving this. You know, there's tokenizing of land. There's tokenizing of real estate. There's building the correct infrastructures that allow people to fundraise these projects. Because at the moment, with CityDAO, all citizen NFTs are pretty much sold out. That is ultimately the maximum amount that you can raise from citizen NFTs. So $8 million to $10 million is what the CityDAO treasury is going to be until we come up with some other fundraising mechanism. So the point being is that these kind of infrastructures that we're trying to develop, they take time and they're different processes. So this first parcel that has been bought by CityDAO is the first parcel that we've managed to represent ownership of on-chain. And that is a huge step in the right direction for what we're trying to do. If we're trying to build a city, we need to represent hundreds of acres of land, thousands of acres of land on-chain, as well as then the next step is actually representing buildings and building ownership and leases on-chain. So with the Wyoming parcel, the idea was is that we had only about 400K in the treasury at the time. And the purpose was to buy a parcel in Wyoming because we're incorporated in Wyoming. We knew that we could follow by a Wyoming law. The next step is by moving to another state and trying to legitimately represent the land ownership in another state. But by targeting Wyoming, first of all, we purchased this land for 150K and with the ultimate goal of tokenizing it and bringing it on chain as one of our first processes that we need to achieve with CityDAO. And we've done that. We've represented the land on chain. The DAO, which is an LLC incorporated in Wyoming, it owns this piece of land. So we've already incorporated ourselves as a DAO. We own a piece of land on chain. The next step is representing governance for that land on chain. So by selling these NFT parcels that represent the governance, this is now another step in the right direction to what we're trying to achieve.
And building on the subject of why that piece of land, if I can just share my own perspective as a citizen, I mean, I was not part of the decision-making process for it. And this all happened before I really found out about the project. And when I look at, from my own perspective, this is was it $116,000 spent on that piece of land? Is that right?
Yeah, in between 100 and 120, yeah.
Yeah, so looking at $116,000 purchase of a piece of land in respect of a $8 to $10 million budget, this is a relatively tiny fraction of the overall budget. And it's a perfect little tiny low risk, it's an absolutely low risk type of approach to sorting out some of the fundamentals that gives us what I believe is a very strong cost benefit. It gives us an immediate traction. It gets us immediately into governance questions and experimentation. It gives the community something to rally around, to discuss, to play with, to practice with, to debate with, to argue about, to propose on. And it puts us on the map as officially being the first place to buy a piece of land on the Ethereum blockchain. And it doesn't cost anything substantial at all in the budget. And for those that are unfamiliar with the structure again, the NFT is representing for governance. Governance over what to do with the treasury. The company's buying land via the treasury. And each purchase of land is essentially going to be dealt with slightly different. And it's not exactly clear in some ways exactly how each of those segments of land or those purchases are going to be dealt with quite yet. But being an NFT holder, I get to be a part of deciding how it will be governed and how it will be decided over. So the next purchase, who knows, maybe it'll be $1 million purchase and it might be a little bit bigger. And then now we're going to still at $1 million out of an $8 to $10 million budget, we're still leaving a vast majority of that budget available for moving forward. And this is the layer. It's kind of a layered system. You know, Project Zero, as it's called inside the Discord, was a purchase of a small piece of land that's easy to manage. It's not going to blow up on us. It's not going to burn down on us. It's not going to have a riot or some sort of traffic jam or, you know, some sort of major catastrophic event on it. It's just a little piece of land with a flag on it that we get to play with and work out our processes on. It's retained its value. We could sell it if we want it. We can get that money back. Ultimately, we get to move forward into the next steps, which is the segue into your proposal CIP-17 here, Oisin, and there's two sections to it. Maybe you want to explain to us what sort of is up for consideration for the community to vote on and discuss right now.
What I wanted to emphasize was is that the difference between, first of all, the governance for citizen NFTs and then also the governance for land NFTs. So the governance for citizen NFTs is essentially governing what we do with the treasury, the operations, the day-to-day tasks that we take on from CityDAO. Then for this parcel that we're buying, there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, like, you know, we have this idea for this parcel. Let's do this. Why? And other people saying, why did you buy a parcel all the way out here? Like, we can't provide, you know, any proper infrastructure on it. We can't really live on it or anything like that. And which is why we kind of dedicated as a conservation parcel. The idea being is that we don't want to spend too much money on this parcel because this is purely for experiment and trying to bring this land on chain and trying to represent governance this way. So, you know, there's people saying, you know, hey, why don't we develop a big project on it that is skeptical as to whether it would be beneficial or not in essentially 70 or 40 minute drive from Cody in Wyoming. We don't want to spend a crazy amount of money on this because it should be technically used as somewhat of an experiment. So these NFTs that are governing this parcel of land are essentially going to provide governance for the land. So the citizen NFTs provide governance for the treasury and for the operations. And then the land NFTs that are sold for something like this, or perhaps a further project, will actually provide governance for that specific parcel of land. So a normal citizen that does not hold a governance NFT for the land doesn't actually have governance rights over what happens on the land.
And all those specifics, to my understanding, are not sorted out yet and are essentially going to be voted on by the community on how many NFTs are going to be issued for the next parcels. And I say that plurally because there's probably going to be more than one. And these are all questions that are still in the air. And this is why I, you know, very early referred to myself, how I feel is more like a scientist experimenting with what sort of chemicals are going to make what sort of reaction. This is a experiment that we all get to be a part of. And that's what's exciting about it to me anyways. How do you feel about that?
Extremely correct. Like, there's these things and these ideas that are brought up and what I've just said, but ultimately a lot of this stuff, like, for example, how many parcels are going to be issued, what kind of exact governance is given, a lot of this stuff is going to be decided by the community and decided through a voting process where people can actually decide, hey, we're going to allocate or build a well, or there's actually already a well on the property, but we're going to run electricity to the property. That can be done through a vote. And if people vote for that, then that can be achieved. What I was trying to emphasize earlier was that personally, I don't think it's good to advocate that we do stuff like this and spend money on this parcel, because the goal for that parcel has been achieved. Everything else is just a fun exercise. And of course, I'll be buying a parcel of land there anyways, but I think everything else is just a governance exercise.
So moving forward with the next parcel's land, Oisin, you've put together a proposal, then brought it to the community on a couple options. And one of them is about real estate, and maybe you want to speak a little bit more about it. And the other one is about securities as well, which brings up the legal discussions. And maybe you can give us some background and context on what sort of background research has been done, perhaps by you and the founding team, to give some layers into the real estate and the securities discussion and where it's sort of sitting at right now.
Yeah, of course. So initially, at the beginning, and the incorporation of CityDAO as a DAO in Wyoming, there was a lot of discussion as to how we would represent land on chain, you know, the direction we were going to go down, how we represent possible real estate on chain. And I actually wrote a document, which I will share after this in one of the chats with you, but it's an investor DAO concept. So how can we possibly sell, or I guess one of the biggest problems with CityDAO at the moment is that there's 10,000 NFTs. There's no fundraising mechanism other than that. Like, we can't provide any value back to NFT holders because of securities laws. We can't technically raise any more money unless we provide a revenue generating asset. So the idea being was to create an investor DAO. So the CityDAO being used for governance and the investor DAO being used to acquire properties, tokenize them, and create liquid assets. So that kind of was the initial plan. And then we ended up going down this route and purchasing the conservation parcel. It wasn't the initial plan. It was just an idea that I had. Now I've proposed this real estate proposal, which is essentially to purchase a complex. So, you know, you're talking in the region of $20 to $50 million for one of these apartment complexes to provide, I guess, CityDAO with not only a revenue generating asset, but an excellent community, kind of in real life community space, kind of slash hub that can be used. I think I'll probably go through the security raise initially before diving into that project. But the concept of the security raise, building on to what I said earlier with regards to the investor DAO, what the security raises allows us to do is there are lots of people that see CityDAO as a huge project with great fundamentals and a great foundation. So the problem being, and this is, I'll emphasize this again, is that they have no way to invest in CityDAO. There's no way of them buying a token because that wasn't feasible due to securities laws. And there's no way of us achieving that. So the idea of this security raise is that by purchasing or by raising money in the form of a security token for these building purchases, like this CityDAO hub that I propose, you know, $20 to $50 million, what you're doing is you're giving investors a way of investing in CityDAO. It's extremely attractive from an investor, especially real estate investor perspective, because usually, you know, for these real estate deals, you're tied in for X number of years or X number of decades. You know, you're also creating an extremely liquid asset by doing these security raise. So you're raising money, you're providing a liquid asset, you're able to do it in a legally compliant way, because if it's a security token, it can only be sold to accredited investors, and you're raising money that way. And you're also able to raise money for CityDAO to purchase a much, much larger project and scale the process a lot quicker than if we were to use, you know, the $8 million that is currently in our treasury.
One of the things that popped up a couple of times I've seen in different groups and in different, you know, Twitter feeds is the subject of who's the real estate expert inside CityDAO. And there was a little bit of a comical poke or roast, you could say, that there should have been a real estate guy involved before buying the piece of land outside of Cody in Wyoming. And, you know, I thought that was a little comical. You know, there was a little bit of discussion about, is there a well, is there water, is there not, and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's a little bit of a hilly piece of land and all these discussions. And It revolves around this, who's the real estate expert? Who's the real developer? I mean, I spent a considerable amount of time in construction myself, but I would not proclaim to be a real estate developer or a land developer or a home builder. So I'm just curious, how do you respond to that question of who's the real estate expert here at CityDAO? And if there isn't one, what is the plan around that and what's the thought process?
That's a great question. Like, it's not just a real estate, it's who is the legal expert, who is the real estate expert, who is the podcast expert? It's a great question. In CityDAO, the good thing about it is that you have hundreds of citizens with loads of different backgrounds, both professional and geographical backgrounds, all around the world that are extremely interested in the project. And one of the great things about that is that you have lots of these kind of, you know, I was only talking to someone in the Discord over the past couple of weeks, you know, is managing a multi-$100 million property portfolio. And you have a lot of these citizens, while we don't have someone that is directly head of real estate, you have loads and loads of these real estate experts that are scattered across the DAO that are providing extremely useful information and pointing us in the right direction. And if it's a case that we do decide to pursue a model like this, you know, you're going to have lots of extremely in-depth expert opinions on how to pursue it, which is actually what happened with the first parcel. While people say, hey, you didn't have a real estate expert leading the purchase, we sort of did, because the DAO was leading the purchase. And there was loads of people that were providing extremely good insight, both from real estate managers, asset managers, involved in the legal side, providing all of this feedback on the first parcel. There was no need for a head legal expert or a head real estate expert, because you have an abundance of, or almost a board/committee of these real estate experts that were all providing their opinions, which is more heads is better than one, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And we could also say that in approaching any project, we can approach it perfectly with a crystal clear, everything set out in advance and documented, and take as much time as we need in order to get there, and let everyone else be first. Or we can dive in and work on it. And from my perspective, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I see, it feels like you guys chose as founders initially to build a community and to let the community have something to rally around and to talk about, which is to buy a piece of land with a lot of questions still outstanding. And by default of building that community, you're building the resources and the contacts you need in order to fill the positions that are definitely required as we move into more serious pieces of land, which also lends credit to why you purchased such a simple piece of land. I'll use the word simple again, because it's not going to burn down on you. There's no structure there. But it is something to rally a community on and to start finding the right people, the right diamonds inside the group that want to lead and manage different aspects of the project. That's my perspective. That's not coming from you guys. People listening here, this is just a citizen saying what he thinks. Oisin, correct me where I'm wrong on that.
You're not. That is, again, another great point for Parcel Zero, was that at that stage we had a lot of excellent citizens in the DAO. We had a lot of people making these decisions that were deciding on, hey, this is what we do with Parcel Zero. But again, as you said, by bringing that land on chain and by building up the City DAO, you have a lot more of these people coming in and a lot more people getting interested. And now, as I've said, we have a lot of people that are in the DAO that are experts in all these areas that may not have been there if we decided to take the more slow and structured approach and allowing people to voice their opinions and, you know, taking it from a very core team, very centralized route and just making all these decisions to purchase the land, do this, do that. And by opening it up, I think we've created this community that everyone is almost looking forward to getting up in the morning and voicing some opinions on real estate or legal or anything like that. I know I am. So
I could keep rambling and asking you questions. We're definitely going to have you back on the show again, and we're going to dive into deeper subjects. Before we wrap up, is there anything pressing on your mind that you want to make sure that we get here into this recording before we wrap it up?
I think at the moment, CityDAO is taking on a lot of different initiatives, and there's a lot of fantastic proposals being put forward and a lot of great projects that people are emphasizing that we take on. But one thing that I'd really like to stipulate, I guess, before we go, is that we should come together to agree on what the direction is. And if that is going down the route of this real estate proposal, then we try to focus on a very clear direction of execution, because there's a lot of kind of projects and stuff like that going on at the moment. But I'd love to see some more kind of structured direction, I guess, that we should be going down.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, anyone who's listening right now, in my own words, you know, participate, join the Discord, get a part of the discussions. Everyone gets respected. Opinions are shared. They're heard. They're built upon. I've never seen anyone get ignored or dismissed. I certainly haven't, even though I ask really stupid questions sometimes. So just join the Discord, be a part of the discussion, help build this community, help us make decisions and help the project move forward. So get involved. We definitely want everyone to get involved. I want you to get involved. Oisin wants you to get involved. And let's keep building this and moving forward to the next step. So I'm really excited about it. Thanks again for joining in on this episode of the CityDAO podcast. Again, I'm just another citizen of the project holding a citizen NFT, looking to help out where I can. My name is Eric. Thanks again, Oisin, for being on the show. We'll see you guys a bit later. And bye for now.
Thanks, Eric. Bye-bye.